Okay. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the seventh installment of the of our review of Hasidic Rebbes. We were in the Ukraine until now, and now we move to Lithuania. Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, who is a student of the Maggid of Mezrich, he starts out in Minsk, then moves later on in his career to Vitebsk, which is where most of his Hasidim were. He did have a court. He had many followers. He was a Hasidic Rebbe in the classic sense. And in 1777, he moves to the land of Israel, which people don't realize, but in the 18th century, there was a fairly significant aliyah to the land of Israel. Most of them were Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, but also a decent amount of Hasidim, or I shouldn't say that. It wasn't clear that it was a unified group at the time, but many of them were students of the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Mezrich. And so Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk was one of them, but his movement to the land of Israel was also engendered one of some immense writing, because the Hasidim still wanted his guidance, and so he would send regular letters to the Hasidim with his guidance, and this was organized in a sefer called Igeres HaKodesh, which I brought for you here. He also has a collection of sermons on the Parsha, referred to as Pri HaAretz. In terms of what his focus was, we've been speaking a lot about the different foci of the various Hasidic rabbis. So he was preoccupied with the nature of God, the conception of evil, and Kabbalah, which, if you think about it, is very different than, let's say, some of the other Hasidim. We know it's been a mixed bag, but if we were to say there are other stresses that, let's say, a lot of the Talmidim of the Maggid of Mezrich had, which was more on practical actions. You know, what am I doing in my real life? Whereas Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk tended to be more up in the air in Shamayim in terms of the questions that he dealt with. An interesting aspect, and something we'll see in many of the Lithuanian Rebbes, is the rejection of miracle working. We read portions of Shivchei HaBesht, and one of the things that we saw in Shivchei HaBesht is that the Baal Shem Tov was not shy about the performance of miracles when necessary. There was kind of a prophetic aspect to a lot of the things that he did. There was, times where he's speaking with various figures up in the heavens, you know, the famous Igeres, where he meets the Mashiach, and he asks the Mashiach, when are you coming? And the Mashiach says, L'chsheyafutzu mayinotzecha chutza, you know, when the Torah of the Hasidus gets out, those types of issues would come up. Interestingly enough, Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk was opposed to miracle working. In one of the igros that's published, he says, and here I quote it, "I am ashamed. Someone asks him to perform a miracle. For am I to stand in the place of God? It was so in the days of the Baal Shem, that whatever God decreed, he had the power to influence and make come true." Meaning the Baal Shem Tov had that power. "But there was only one such person, and since then no one else has arisen. Even though there are tzaddikim in our generation who promised to make their utterances come true, I am not one of them." So there is kind of an undercurrent of a critique, maybe, of those who claim to have the power of the Baal Shem Tov. And remember, the Baal Shem Tov's official position in his town was as the Baal Shem. He was the healer. He was the advisor. He was giving out kameas. He was giving out, you know, medallions that would help people be cured from illnesses and help people get parnasa. And he would be doing all of these things. And that position of the Baal Shem, as we saw, was a paid position. But here you see, in at least Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk's world, he is not viewing his role as a Rebbe to be a miracle worker. Which leads to a question that we're going to have to deal with, which is, there is a reputation, and we're going to debate this reputation as we see more and more of the Rabbanim, there's a reputation that the Hasidus of Lithuania, of Lita, was more intellectual than the Hasidus of Ukraine and Poland. And this is something that we're going to have to deal with. Number one is, aside from the word misnaged, that you would hear as someone who rejects Hasidus, you'll also hear the word Litvak. Litvak means someone who comes from Lithuania. And the assumption was, at least in the Yeshiva Shevelt, that someone who was a Litvak was someone who was more academic. It may be associated with someone who is colder, someone more intellectual, someone who views Torah learning as the center, rather than tefillah or chesed or all the other aspects of avodah that, let's say, someone like the Baal Shem Tov would be talking about. And so there's a possibility that there is a symbiotic relationship between the Hasidim of Lithuania and the yeshivish world of Lithuania, and that if the yeshivish world of Lithuania is more intellectual, it's possible, perhaps even probable, that Hasidus of that area was more intellectual as well. Just to give an example of this, is the most famous Lithuanian Hasidus is Shner Chabad. Okay, is founded, or Shner Zalman Ladi is from your namesake, Lithuania. And Chabad, they chose the term not to call themselves Lubavitchers, but to call themselves Chabad, because Chabad stands for Chochma, Bina, and Das. Aside from being references to the Spheros, for the Kabbalistic Spheros from which God relates to the universe, Chochma, Bina, Das are all referring to intellectual pursuits. Chochma is wisdom, Bina is understanding, Das is knowledge. Each one of those is referring to those levels of understanding. So there is something to be said that Lithuanian Hasidus may have been more intellectual. That being said, also, we also have to be careful of not pigeonholing someone. We may, you know, come in contact with a Ukrainian or a Polish Hasid and say, oh, you're Ukrainian, you're Polish Hasid, so clearly you're going to be some backwater, you know, non-intellectual simpleton. That is not necessarily going to be the case. You know, it's going to take all kinds, and once there's kind of this explosion of Hasidic writings, so wherever you might be living, you're going to be reading everything, and the Tanya becomes such an influential sefer in general that the Tanya is going to be influencing all the other Hasidus, and that's going to be kind of injecting an intellectual aspect to other areas of Hasidus as well. And, you know, it depends on who you were and how prolific you were. But certainly in terms of Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk's focus, as opposed to, let's say, someone like Rav Levi Yitzchak, who might be focusing more on the simplicity of life, Rav Menachem Mendel is going to be looking more at the complexities of life. But that being said, the same themes that we've seen in other forms of Hasidus will also come up in Rav Menachem Mendel's works. So I brought for you two texts here today. One is the first letter in Igros HaKodesh, his first letter to his students, or his Hasidim. And the second is the Priya Aretz on Parshas Balak. I was trying to choose which one I would do, and I said, hey, why not the Parsha of the week? Which it's a little bit thicker than some of the other things we've read, and it's comprehension of it won't be as simple, but we'll work through it. All right, so let's start with Igaris number one. I apologize for the size, but I was going to fit everything on one page. But I'll try to read loud enough so everyone understands everything. So he says, Hine Ahuvenu Yadav Yadenu, Enai El Hashem, Kihu Yoshim Vaya Hashem Avticham, these warm introductions to his beloved Hasidim, Aval Zachalti Vairaminam. Amnam Anochi Yadati, he says, but I know, Ki Astara Pneim Anta Bam Mehabit El Elohim Adases Hashem Chodrachem. He says, just because you're not revealed to me, it doesn't stop you from knowing God in all of his ways. Kihu hanosein koach l'chol davar. Because God is who gives the koach, the power, to each and everything. U'l'chol nimtza, and to everything that exists. U'mechayehu u'mekaymo kasher bera'o. God continues to give life to all that is around us, just as it was when he created it. And that's what it means, mechadesh b'chol yom tamid, maaseh bereishis. Right? What does it mean that each and every day he renews creation? She says, kasher haisa tchilas habriya b'rtzono, kein ata mekarimo b'rtzono b'chol zman kiyumo, ki ilu b'ra'o u mechadesho b'chol rega. He says, don't view, this is, we said this is a kind of almost a borderline pantheistic view of the world, that God is constantly creating. How is he constantly creating? He's constantly creating on the same level of Briyas HaOlam today. That each and everything, the reason it exists is because God wills it into existence right at this very moment. Shilulei Ritzono Yisbarach, if it wasn't for God's desire that it were to exist, Hakol Kala, everything Kalo Kalo Haya, everything would be like it wasn't there. Ritzono Yisbarach, Hu HaMechayes Kulam, and what is his desire? That all of us should be living. This is, you know, an empowering notion. Why is it that I woke up in this morning and that my eyes open? Because God willed me into existence. Were God for even a single moment not to will me into existence, I would not exist. And the same is true of everything material within this world. If God were not to will it into existence, it would not exist. V'les atar panui minei. And here, what does he say? Quoting the words of the Zohar, which became the Baal Shem Tov, and then the Magid of Mezrich's rallying cry, there is no place that is empty of God. So veves hakol, he surrounds it all. Uvesoch hakol, and he is inside, he infuses all. And remember, for those of you who were here last week to discuss Rav Nachman had a similar question, but Rav Nachman embraced the paradox of how God could be surrounding inside of it. This is not something that Rav Menachem Mendel is interested in. It's just God is surrounds all, and he's inside all. Umamale esakol, and he fills all. Ve'etzem kol davar afilu begufim avim v'chomarim murkavim, and so too God is inside all, even the thickest of bodies. And even of materials that are made up of numerous materials. Ki ein shum havaya, ve'etzem kol davar shum havaya l'chomer rak min atzura hanigberet v'mitzayeret tzuraso bipareid hatzura efes v'tov nechshav. If it were not for God forming something, something would not have form. That is what he's saying. Hare, this means to be. Shabor yisparach hu mekayim akol. God causes everything to exist. V'akol al yidei midosav yisparach, asher gilal tchilas briyas kol haolamos al yadam, ko'amar olam chesed ibaneh. Right? God created all of the worlds, and remember, there are different worlds separating us from God, but God invests chiyus, life-giving force, into every one of those worlds. And he does this through his midos, and that's what it means, olam chesed ibaneh. Vayedea midos mistahek hakol. And via these midos, God runs all. Vehin hema chayus kol davar. And that is the life essence of all things. Ve'ein metzios ba'olam chutz min shiva midos shem chesed gvura tiferes netzach od yesod and malchus. The final seven spheros, the closest ones to this world, those are the ones, those are the midos that run this world. Ahava mipnei chesed, yira mipnei gvura. Chesed corresponds to God's love. Yira corresponds to fear corresponds to gvura. Rachmanus mipnei atif eres, the center of spheric realm. Uvis galus shal shalus gagima midos yoshem tehem nikra nitzachon v'dayavis kashush kanota. He basically goes over now the unfolding of God's light through the spheros into this world until it fills all. So the spheros are the way God enters into this world, but recognize that they are merely describing the pathway that he takes, but he is here, he's involved, involved in everything.
This seems to be, in a sense, directly contrary to the idea of God withdrawing from a small part of the world.
Correct. Remember, Chassidus, right. What does that mean? God, Chassidus doesn't buy that God withdrew.
Right.
God is here. He's everywhere. He's in the table. He's in the chair. He's inside of us. He's inside of everything because everything exists because of him. Remember the Matrix, right? Everything's ones and zeros. You just think you're living in a physical material world, but your brain your neshama is being stimulated by its connection to the Ein Sof light. V'zehu, this is what it means. B'chol derachecha da'ehu. This is what it means. You should know God in all areas. Umam ramzav hidabek b'midosav. What does that mean? You should, so the famous Gemara that says you should follow God's midos. God is caring, so should you be caring. God is loving, so should you be loving. God visits the sick, so should you visit the sick. He's interpreting it a little bit different. What does it mean? When you recognize that the midos are merely the way God relates to this world, but he's there, that's what it means, hidabek b'midosav. What you need to do is recognize that God relates into this world in different pathways. Ratza lomar, this means to say, she'etein adam alibo ko pilu asav v'tunasav ri'ya shmiya machshava v'dibor da'asi liyado me'eze mida she'i v'yisponein efo halo Hashem zo. Everything you should do, you should start thinking, where is God in this action? Right? Whether it's your hearing, your seeing, your thinking, your speaking, anything that comes to your hand, he says, in each and every situation, you should see, where is the godliness in this? Because if there were no godliness in it, it wouldn't exist. So therefore, if it exists, there must be godliness in it. Sharei bilado yishar. There is nothing without God. Vidabek v'osa amida ilav yisparach. And in each and everything, when you do chesed, what are you doing? This chesed comes about because of God's chesed. Derech mashal, he says, I'm going to give you an example, a parable. Kishiavo elav izeh havash, shelo lehovo soa chumrius. For example, if I love something, don't love the thing, the material thing, the chumrius. Ki im lavin shechayas hapnini ma'ahiv es hachomer b'nei akol. Ice cream. Who doesn't love ice cream? Everybody loves ice cream, right? Don't love the ice cream. Love the fact that what makes ice cream something to be loved is the spirit of God that exists inside of it, right? V'achiyus mitzayro al sadei ha'eva. What is it? It is God's chiyus, which makes it an item worthy of love. Lachain yadbik es atzmo vavaso el chiyus hapnimius shebesoch hadavarahu. Shuei lav yisparech hamechayes hakol. What do you need to do? You need to think not about the soft, creamy, sugary ice cream with its rich flavor. What do you need? Who is it that created flavor? Right? Who is it that created? This is Hashem. So in that, when you take the lick of the ice cream, what are you doing? You're recognizing the chiyus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im omnom hu yisparach in sof gavo me'agavo shomer. If it weren't for God, there would be no ice cream. Aval anachnu masigim. But what's our problem? What do we do? Masigim tchila rak hamidos. We only see the external first. The midos. We see the pathway. V'hine kishyargil adam atzmo b'chol d'rachav v'ragash osav v'tashmishav morasav l'isponin l'dabek bo yisparach b'ofen eskar. But if you follow my path and you start interpreting things beyond the surface, beyond the material, hine yesh b'kocho zeh liyos l'mala min ha-teva, right? Then what are you going to be? You're going to transcend nature. You're going to transcend nature. V'abriya l'asos hishtanus ba'olam kirtzono, kemo sh'amru rabosenu zichron l'anu v'bracha ala pasuk. You'll be able to transform the world around you. Amar Elohei Yisrael li Moshel ba'adam tzadik Moshel yirat Elohim. Mi Moshel bi, who is it that controls God, can manipulate God, as it were? Tzadik, the righteous. Why? Because the righteous person is not manipulating God. He's seeing that the entire world is merely a garment for the spirit of God behind it. V'kol shekein v'kav v'chomer shu begedesh shebiltiyav shirut l'shlop memshelet ha'sitra achra alav. And you're going to reach a point where even the evil forces won't be able to control you. Because anything material, you're going to recognize that it's nothing. You're going to recognize that it's meaningless without the force of God. And the Sitra Achra only controls the material. Your joy of the ice cream is not going to come from its physical pleasure that it gives you, but it's going to come from the fact that the spirit of God is what made ice cream a desirous object. The adirab, hima nichnaim lefanav. All material things will what? They'll kneel before you. Shari v'minas hagvura misgaber al hachomer v'chein b'chol amidos. You're gonna with the Midas HaGvura, you're gonna use God's transcendent warrior power to overcome, to overwhelm everything else. V'alderech klal eshar lavin kishadam ohev eiza davar harei machshavaso v'avaso shochem b'sochom riyus hadavar ahu. You need to remember that whenever you love anything, your love is entrenched in that physical, in that materialness. V'arei makifo rachmano lefal machshavaso. What can it do? It can overtake your mind. V'achar kach machrano lefal machshavaso lo sam chom riyus v'achom ruhu nikra meisach mavdiyo. But what happens if you focus only on the material? It becomes a wall, it becomes a mavdil, it becomes a separator between you and God. V'yashar l'dafko bo yisbarach, and you can't become one, you can't have dveikus with Hashem. U'mifnei hekef machshavaso usar chomriyus shenichnas bam, v'hihi am chomriyus shemevadelas b'ino lebein abor yisbarach. When you love material things only for their material offerings, so then what happens? Then all of a sudden, you are unable to have that connection with God. Masha Inkin, however, kshemargilas atzmu machshavaso tinuasav midosav shalolish namish klal b'chomrius. But if you decide that the joy that you're going to take in any material experience is not going to be from the material joy that it gains, but from recognition of the spiritual joy that exists behind it, harei sheinenu davuk lachomer, then you're not connect to the material. But who are you? You are now connected to the ruler of all, to God, and you rule over the chomer, over the material as well. You're not dressed in your physical state and sitting in the physical world. You're outside of it, right? Because you recognize that ice cream isn't just ice cream. You recognize that ice cream, the desire that you have for ice cream, and the reason ice cream is desirous is all based on the chiyas of Hashem. Vein ha'olam mekomo, the world is not, you don't belong here on earth. Aval hu makom shel olam, but the earth belongs to you. Shari davuk b'chiyus ha'olam, because you transcend the material and are connected to the life-giving force of the world. Hanosei makom b'tziyur l'chol almos, l'chein e'ashar l'liyos moshel al chomriyus ha'olam. You can rule over the material of the world. So here we have, it's a little bit nuanced of a difference. He's utilizing the same themes we've seen before, les atar panui mine, God's behind everything, this kind of quasi-pantheist approach that everything, that God is in everything. But what he's saying is, there's kind of a shtickle of old-fashioned chassidus in it, which is the rejection of the material world. He's not exactly saying reject the material world. You should still eat the ice cream, right? You shouldn't engage in asceticism or self-denial, but you should still eat the ice cream. But when you eat the ice cream, you have to have the right to kavana. You have the right, intent. You have to be looking beyond the ice cream, beyond what's on the surface, into what's deeper inside of it. Know that behind it is something more spiritual, something more beloved. You could see this, by the way, easily being applied to, let's say, something like David and Bathsheba. Why do we say David and Bathsheba? Kol ha'omer David chata eino ela toa. Right? David didn't sin. Well, since this is going to ultimately give birth to the Mashiach, so what happens? Maybe David wasn't desirous of Bathsheba because she was beautiful. Maybe he was desirous of her because he saw beyond the material and he saw the spirit that existed behind it. And therefore, it was less a material act than it was a spiritual act. And so from a technicality point, it was a physical act of a sin. But from the broader view, if you look beyond the materiality, it was a very, very spiritual moment. So you can see this leading to a type of way of explaining a lot of things. Why was Yaakov drawn to Rachel? Was it her beauty or was it the spirit that existed behind it? Rus and Boaz. And you can see this in all sorts of cases. You know, why was Moshe Rabbeinu drawn to the Sneh HaBoer Ba'ish, the burning bush? Was he drawn to the burning bush because it was interesting and because it was beautiful and exotic? Or was he drawn to it because he recognized that there is a spirit that existed behind it that was significant? And it explains a lot of kind of the, not ascetic, but aesthetic aspects of our religious experience, because the aesthetic Rav Menachem Mendel Vitebsk would say, is merely an expression of the Chiyas of Hashem that is there. What makes this attractive is the Chiyas of Hashem, and it is the fools who look only at the attractiveness on a material level, but if you can see it beyond that, then you turn, you know, the admiration of a beautiful tree into something more meaningful, into recognition of the Chiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind it. So that's his kind of primary letter. So you see him taking a lot of the themes that we've seen until now in the Baal Shem Tov, in the Magen of Mezrich, and kind of twisting it and turning it and giving it kind of his own twist to it, but nonetheless something which very much fits into the Hasidic milieu of how to view the world as not necessarily what we think it is, but beyond it. Okay, so that's his letter there, and you can see why that's the opening letter of his Igeres HaKodesh.
You gave examples of people who, you know, saw something spiritual behind the surface.
Yeah.
Could you go through anything in the Chumash and say that when there was a positive outcome, initially, someone was seeing this far, like Joseph, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Joseph was,
why would he go to work for Pharaoh? Because he could see that in...
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what makes a prophet a prophet. That's what makes a tzaddik a tzaddik. Right? That's someone who can see beyond the surface of things. What was Joseph, if not the person who saw beyond the surface of everything? You know, he saw that, you know, dreams that looked like material things were actually not. And he, you know, he saw that life in Eretz Yisrael was not going to last for whatever reasons. You know, he saw the various beyond the material to what was beyond it. You can certainly make that argument. I don't know if he does. You know, I'd have to go back and look at some of his commentaries on.
That's the concept.
That's definitely the concept. Okay, Priyaretz on Parshas Balak. So here he's going to be building off of Matovu Alecha Yaakov, and an interesting statement that the Gemara makes. The interesting statement is that when it's talking about Moshe and Bilam, so it says at the end of the Torah, all the way last parak of the Torah, it says that after Moshe dies, Lo kam be Israel, you know, to a Navi like Moshe. Never again would the Jewish people have a prophet on the level of Moshe, to which the Gemara interprets, you're right, amongst the Israelites, there was no prophet, but amongst the non-Jews, there was. So what's it saying? Bilam is powerful prophet, more powerful prophet than Moshe Rabbeinu? Could we say such a thing? This is an odd statement. And not only that, but Matovu, the Gemara even debates whether to include Matovu in the Shema. So, you know, so Bilam's prophecy, you know, gets some cachet here. And so he's going to have to deal with this question.
So the language of Bilam is different.
Yeah. All right. So Matovu Alecha Yaakov. Right? So how beautiful are your tents, O Jacob? So Piresh Rashi says, Ra'a she'ein pischein mechuvanin zeh k'neged zeh. He saw that their doorways were not towards one another, right? That they were modest, that they didn't look into other people's houses. Gam Piresh Rashi, zeh o'alecha b'yishuvan mishkunotecha b'chorbanan. O'alecha is when it's like this when they are dwelling, mishkunotecha, even when they're destroyed. Gamra Mu Rabba Sein Rasinu Zechran Livracha, our rabbi said as well, Lo kam navi od kemoshe b'Israel, that amongst the Israelites, a prophet on par with Moshe never stood. Ababa umo sa'ol nam kam, but there is amongst the Goyim, Umanu, and who is that guy that is comparable, if not better than Moshe? Bilam. So obviously, this is something that requires explanation. In order to explain this, let me say this. So Amru Rabbi Seinu Zechronam Levracha. Another statement of Chazal. Eina Shechina Shora Ella Al Mishu Chacham Gibor V'Ashir. The Shechina rests only on someone who is wise, who is powerful, and who is wealthy. V'chulam Moshe, and it's all learned from Moshe. Shaya Bakulam, Moshe was wise, powerful, and he was wealthy. Ulechora seems a little bit tamua. It seems a little bit odd. Hine midas hagvura v'ashiras hayachaser l'kama v'chama tzadikim. He says, we know that there were many tzaddikim, people who the Shechina rested on them, but they weren't necessarily warriors, they weren't necessarily wealthy. Shechina yashor aleihem. And nevertheless, what would happen? The Shechina rested on them. So what are you telling me here? Gam kasha, it's also difficult, because ki bere ma reish psachim. So a statement at the beginning of the Masech Psachim, Zrizos may be de'ala zihirus, right? The Zrizos brings to zihirus, brings to this, all of this, and what's the final? The final midah that's going to bring you to the ultimate height? So tavar, anava. Anava, modesty, is the highest of all midos, is the highest of all character traits. And anava may be lidei ruach hakodesh. And modesty is going to bring you, Ruach HaKodesh is going to bring you the Shechina. Nimsa shadavar taloi rak ba'anava. Right? It seems, therefore, that what is it that will ultimately be the decisor of if you get the Shechina resting on you or not? It's anava, modesty. V'seder hamidos shemone v'holich reish pirkenu reish psachim anal. So he says, and you need to do zehiros, rizos. What are you telling me? You got to be powerful. You got to be wealthy. You got to be wise. No, you got to be modest. You got to follow. You got to be careful. You got to be, someone who's the first to do things. All the things that it says in Mesilas Yesharim. Then you'll get Ruach HaKodesh. What are you telling me? You got to be wealthy. That doesn't work like that. Aval ha'inyan kedei levar pashuru al pi amru rabbi Rezeinu zichron lebracha. He says, it's a simple answer. Ezu gibor ha-koresh es yitzro. When it says that a person needs to be a gibor, that a person needs to be an ashir, it's not meaning that he has to be a warrior, that he has to be wealthy. Right? What does it mean? Gibor means he's kovesh es yitzro. He's someone who conquers his yitzer hara. He conquers his evil inclination. Ezu ashir, who is wealthy, sameach b'chalko. Right? Uperush hagvura, what does it mean that you're a warrior, that you're a great warrior? Hu balev velo bayad. What does it mean to be a great warrior, to be brave? It means you have a powerful heart, not a powerful hand. Shaish hayare v'racha levav. Because what do we say? Someone who is fearful and weak-hearted, hayal chozer me'orchei ha'melchama. We would send him back from the army. We wouldn't send back someone who had weak arms. Who would we send back? Someone with a weak heart. V'ha'inyan kukia chasadim hema hitpashtus ukamayim nigrim imakom magvo lamakom namoch v'yored umitpashet acho eino nireh. When it comes to kindnesses, what do? They're like water. They go and they fall down from high places to low places, and what happens? They drain out and they disappear and they dissipate until you can't see them anymore. Aval gvuros, but bravery, hudavar hama'amid, it is something, it's a wall. It's something which stands up to things. Umin tzamtzim, and what does it do? It corrals things. Ugvul nasan lishpat shtus hachasadim achu kein kli hamagbil umitgalel in kol. But what is it? It's a gvul. It's a border, right? It can trap chasadim, kindnesses, in one singular place until everyone can see us. Lachein ikarit galut hu begvuros. How does God reveal himself? In gvuros. In bravery. Why? Because bravery has the power to trap and hold things. Kayadua, v'chein derech ha'olada. If shar ki im aidei gvuros shehu eskalos. Same thing when anything is born. What do you need there to be? Something you need there to be gvuros. V'chein haya brias ha'olam. How did brias ha'olam happen? Aidei tzimtzum, contraction, corralling. Ki adua v'shehu yikar agashmius v'harichuch me'ashem yisbarach. But amazingly enough, the irony of it is that what happens when you build walls? What do? You also separate. Hagam ki adu Hashem yisparech mamalei kol amin. So even though you're powerful, you're separating, but nevertheless, God is everywhere. Aval ina bihiskalos, but you can't see it. Right? It's like with the water. water is only recognized when it's corralled in one singular place. But if you allow it to be mispashet, what happens? It seeps into things. V'hine mishu bal mala, chacham, or gibor, shamala nikra mitgale betocho, someone who is wise, or a gibor, and it's clear, it's self-evident, mimela muvan hoyoso gashim ki haizgalus hu gashmis. Right? You can see it. Right? Oh, the only thing you can see is gvura, is when things are corralled. Lachin baal mala tzarich lahachzir hamala el hamakom asher lakcham misham. V'hu ein sof baruch hu ayidei midos ha'anava. So what do you need to do if your great abilities are apparent and self-evident because you're such a gibor? That's when you need to find modesty. What does modesty do? It breaks down the walls. It breaks down the walls and it returns that which you have corralled inside yourself to the Ein Sof, to the infinite light. Az nitosef alav yoser biyoser b'achzir hadavar el shorsho ki adua mishar dorshea. Ma she'ein kein b'lav hachi. But if you don't return it, if you don't reach that modesty, hu nifrad u'migusham v'rachok. What are you then? Then you remain material. Even though that aspect, that light is locked up inside of you, but you're separated. Merachok me'ashem. V'nei k'sayev v'ish Moshe anav me'od. Why does it say that Moshe was super modest? Mipnei she'in av anav ha'meitis elevam mala b'me'emes. V'hu anav negdo yeh. Umot ha'olam v'alkos kulam mash'in kein. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu broke down all the walls. That's why he was more modest than all of them. He says, but who do you see, by the way, their midos publicly? Not someone who's modest, but someone who is a terrible person, but is able to overcome those terrible aspects, but not able to find modesty, that's where it's self-evident. Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness, he was so great that you could no longer see how great he was. Now explain, what's up with Bilam? What happens? But if you are a purely material person, but you're able to overcome, so it's all going to be revealed in you.
As it was with Bilam.
Why were things revealed with Bilam? Because Bilam was the ultimate controller. He was the ultimate magbil. He was the ultimate builder of walls and borders. Bilam was the one who was ultimately able to create those separations. So it was self-evident. It was apparent. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, his very modesty makes his spiritual greatness less apparent. Why? Because his modesty was, after having conquered everything, he broke down all the walls in order to have that total and complete connection with the Eitzov. Right? Someone who has terrible midos, v'yisgaber al Yitzro, and he's able to overcome his Yetzer Hara, v'yneglek vod Hashem, and the light of God is revealed in him, zeo tachlis bar b'riyas ha'olam, that's the purpose of the creation of the world, shamar v'naser etzerno, afilu b'gashem ayoter, that when something that's even super duper material is able to reveal godliness, tachlis v'yisgalus ha'ashri b'tachlis, l'kmo kein mishu bal malos tovos, ha'tachlis, and the same is true, someone who is the essence of modesty, and you can't see anything in him, that too is the truest expression of God. V'chulan haya b'Moshe Rabbeinu, kayadu mipi ha'svarim, sh'Moshe Rabbeinu haya mutba b'tachlis ha'midos ra'ush v'kavash midosav l'tachlis ha'tov ha'efshari. Moshe Rabbeinu too, according to the Medrash, was someone who had bad midos also, but he was able to overcome them. V'ya ba'alas malas efshari ba'adam, v'ya anav mikol adam. But even though he was able to conquer the Yetzer Hara, he was nevertheless more modest than every person. V'zeu sh'ashchina shorah alav sharei hu mashre shchina so yisparach b'chol ha'aretz b'chol ha'shval mitachlis ha'omet ashmei rom rom rom. V'zeu divrehem zal she'in shchina shorah ela al ba'al midos v'hun anav. Okay, that's what it means. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? After he conquered everything, he became modest. And that's what it means, that the Shechina is only Shora on someone who is modest, because when you become modest, it extends out to everything. Aval kechol chad lefum dargin dilei lefi gadluson vanasenuz panim ten gan yitzender ma'amar reish psachim shama anava midvi de ruach hakodesh. What does it mean that Anava brings to Ruach HaKodesh? That's what it means. It means it brings it to that moment where the walls are down. V'agibor b'gvurasot k'virshas yisro kol chad chad lefchum dargei dilei. V'hine yadua ki amitas hamusar v'yiras Hashem hi yiras ha'yiromimus yirei boshes v'is yira shu yiras ha'onesh. And he says, now he switches to discuss yira. He says, we know that there's different types of fear. There's fear, what we'll call awe, yiras haromimus, awe of God's greatness, and then there's fear of punishment. Okay, asher yivio chazal, mipnei shelefanim yeshar lachuvet yisro b'yiras haromimus. Sometimes, if you're trying to control your yetzer hara, it's not enough to be in awe of God. What do you need? You need to be afraid of punishment. V'tzarech lizkor yiras ha'onesh, afilu gedolim mitzadikim ka'amar rabba zeinu zichronam levracha. Even great men sometimes have to think of the punishment as a way of getting past their yetzer hara. V'imlav yizkor lo yom ha'misa. And even if that doesn't work, you have to remember you're going to die. Umar mar Rabbi Yehuda din grama d'ashira bir v'ainyan sh'akol lefi ha'etz v'azman v'amakom v'chozek ha'yetzer v'takvo. Everything depends on the moment. Sometimes I'm able to schlep myself out to shul in the morning because I'm in awe of God. Sometimes I need to think about the fact that I'm going to be punished if I don't get myself up. That's not the purpose. It's not my goal in life, to be fearful. But I need that fear as a motivator. It's not my goal, but it's my motivator. That's why a person can never become a total tzaddik, to be exactly like him. Because the tzaddik might be on a level where he doesn't need that type of motivation. Takes time. You develop it, and eventually you'll reach that level. V'lo b'dimyo, not in imagination. Sharei yisalda b'chila k'siv k'adam asolid yado sh'nifal v'nisakek l'acharav m'pnei ha'pachad. Right? It starts with fear. V'hine yadua sh'moshe ha'yadat shal kol Yisrael k'neged haya baladat sh'beklipa perish shal machshevet p'sul sh'becholos Yisrael. V'hine buva b'zohar sh'aklipa gam kin tzarich ha'olam Bishul Onish Harishim Kaidum Kavar Gamkin Al Pasuk Balak Ben Sipor Lama Davka Tzipor Ayincha. Moshe Rabbeinu was inclusive of all of the knowledge of the Jewish people, even the klipa, even the negative parts of it. Vihina Bilam Shuhu Klalos Hadas De Klipa. But what was Bilam? He was all the knowledge of the klipa, of just the set. Kevan Shara Ash in Psachayu mechuvanim ze min ze, she'ein hayiros shel kol achad mechuvan l'chavero. Ava akol chad lefum darga dilei hagadol lefi gadlo hakatan lefi orcho miyiras ha'onesh. What did Bilam see? Bilam, when he looked down at the Jewish people, he saw that their tents weren't facing one another, their entrances. What does that mean? It means that everybody was on different spiritual levels. Some people needed yiras ha'onesh. Some people needed the fear of punishment. Some people only needed awe. Some people did things automatically. And so to even the greatest among them weren't always consistent.
Nikra Pesach v'Sharav Zeh Perush Rashi B'Yishuva Mechurbanam Shiyuratam Romus Yerlechein Ra'ui Shetishra Aleihem Shechina.
So what does he say? Bilam and Moshe had different ways of approaching things. Moshe was able to encompass the different levels, but Bilam was one singular level. Why was he with that one singular level? Because Bilam was all Kovesh Yitzro. Bilam was all Gvura, whereas Moshe, Anava. And that Anava was at once less apparent, but also more inclusive, and therefore that's what he says it means, that they had different levels of prophecy.
But doesn't Bilam at some point tell Balak that he can't? It's not up to him what he does.
We don't ask Litvish Akashas on Chassidus Shavuot Lach. Okay. It's the old Yiddish.
Right.
He has something to say here. Right. What he's trying to say is he's trying to define here the nature of Gvura,
right.
And the nature of Anava.
Right.
Which we have. Anava is basically transcending the material, whereas Gvura is controlling the material.
Right.
So in this world, Bilam is more powerful.
Right.
But in the worldly, you know, in all the worlds, Moshe is the more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shkayach.